This standard statement that is made by all the mashayikh, معمولات کی پابندی ترقی کا زینہ ہے. Being punctual upon the devotional practices, wazifas, zikrs, whatever has been given and passed down by the mashayikh, then being punctual upon them is the stepping stone to progress. These ma'mulat and these teachings may seem to be small and insignificant, but doing it regularly, it begins to accumulate, and then it has the desired effect. That wall and that obstruction that seems to be unbreakable, that breaks down. But provided this ma'mulat and these wazifas or these teachings that have been passed down, they are done with punctuality. Sometimes you have a situation, several things, they join up, they all gang up against you. Now you need to complete your ma'mulat, for example. At the same time, you need to do gush. At the same time, you need to be teaching at the madrasa. Then how do you reconcile? So Allah says, there is no conflict, no contradiction. At the time of gush, you do gush. At the time of your ma'mulat, you do your ma'mulat. And at the time that you need to teach, you teach. So all can be done in their respective places. But if you want to make an excuse for something, then you will definitely find an excuse. Someone has to eat, right? Throughout the day he was quite busy and occupied. Some commitment, some appointment, some work or the other. Does he need to ask them, when must I eat? No. When he'll find the time, he will eat. He will make himself comfortable, he will satisfy himself. He doesn't need to ask when will he eat. That can be adjusted, either after Maghrib, after Isha, or somewhere even after Isha. He can do it. So the question comes about when a person doesn't want to do it. But when he wants to do it, he will find the time to do it. As Ali radiallahu anhu had directly heard the hadith of Tasbih Fatimi, 33 Subhanallah, 33 Alhamdulillah, and 34 Allahu Akbar, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they asked him, that after you have heard this, have you done this with punctuality? He said, yes. Even on the night of Siffin, when they were entangled in heavy battle they were entangled in, even on that night, I was too exhausted in the first portion of the night, but I made sure before the end of the night, I completed that ma'mul as well. So, anything mustn't come in between in completing. What's more rewarding than jihad? Propagation of Islam. Is there anything more rewarding? Nothing more rewarding. But then too, this doesn't come in between in completing the ma'mulat. A group of Sahaba kiram had come as a delegation to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they explained the whole situation at Medina Munawwara, that we used to take turns in guarding the camels. That in that zamana, the modes of transport was camel or horseback. So they came on camel, and whilst the others would be in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then one sahabi, on a rotational basis, he would look after the camels. They explain that they came, and Rasulullah would then see them at night as well, would see that they're all comfortable. And on one night, Rasulullah was delayed in coming to see them. So Rasulullah excused himself, and he says, no, I had some portion of the Quran Sharif that was incomplete. I completed what was incomplete, then I've come to see you. Even Rasulullah, and he is made a ma'mool for himself, a daily ritual for himself, for the recitation of the Quran Sharif. So if it was delayed, If it was postponed, you would see to it that before you would rest, that ma'mool is complete. 5 sipara or 6 sipara or 7 sipara, whatever the case may be. It mustn't be now that I make up an excuse for myself. No, I had to do some other deeni work, and this other deeni work was quite important, therefore I've left this out. Well, that deeni work is in its place, but this ma'mool also must be done in its place. And really, the barakat and the goodness and the spirit that goes on in the deeni work is on account of this ma'mulat. You complete that ma'mulat and you will see the goodness that will come. You will see that deeni work that you are doing, whatever teaching or khanqah work or whatever work you are doing, jamaat work you are doing, but you complete your ma'mulat and you will see a light in your work. You will see a spirit in your work. You will see that acceptance. You will see that ease. And you will see it's affecting people's hearts. Though, this as a disclaimer, as a note of caution, you don't do that ma'mulat so that it could have the effect on the people. No. Sometimes we get the facts wrong. Someone says, no, do your ma'mulat, make your dua so it will have a better effect on the people. You don't do that. You do that ma'mulat for your own self. Your own self, you will need to do that ma'mulat. Whether it has the effect or not, that's a secondary issue. But on your own, you will have to do the ritual for that day. Ma'mulat is like food for a child, or milk for a child. Like the child is totally dependent on its growth, on the nourishment that it receives. Without the nourishment, it can't grow. And it has to be given regularly, every day, morning, evening, and at midday. But the child requires that nourishment all the time. All the time it requires to secure its good growth. So this is one thing that we see our mashayikh, they were quite punctual upon. Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, though he had a very heavy schedule here, but right till the end, that zikr jahri that we do after Zohar, he didn't leave it out. He said, I'm active and I am too absorbed in some other work, therefore I cannot do this right till the end. Mawlana Ali Niyasab Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali says that we had attended one ijtima, and you know how in the ijtima, how it happens that everybody wants to see that buzurg, they want to shake hand, meet him, take his blessings. It's normal. So now you're talking of crowds, and crowds like India. You don't get 5,000 and 10,000 crowd there. You get 100,000, 50,000 crowds. After the ijtima, Ali Niyasab Rahmatullahi says that I thought I'll go to one secluded masjid and have a rest. Because Mawlana Ali Niyasab Rahmatullahi is a person of kitabs. He's writing all the time. And a person that is writing kitabs, he can't take on crowds too much. Crowds, then they disturb his focus. So he requires to go and refocus, try and settle his mind again. And he requires a little bit of seclusion so that his mind is at ease again. So the ijtima had ended, and then I thought of looking for one small masjid. I can go and rest it out, just seclude myself a little bit, and I can come back to normal. So anyway, I found the most isolated masjid in that area. I went and sat down there. To my surprise, I hear someone old reciting the Quran Sharif in a very melodious and a nice, calm, composed way. And now, that melodious voice and the sweetness that he was reciting in, that got me struck. And I'm thinking to myself, now, who is this person? You know, when you hear someone reading Quran Sharif, all right, in an ordinary voice, you don't get so attracted. But someone is reciting in a melodious voice, calm, and he's reading with that type of effect and affection, then you want to see, now, who is this? Quran Sharif ki tilawat kar raha hai. Now, it's after all that istima routine, you know, all that schedule, meeting the people, the dua, and that heavy session that they had, now he goes and inspects in the dark. To his surprise, he sees that it is Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. All that was done, everything was done, and here he goes to complete his daily ritual of the recitation of the Quran. I need to complete so much. I haven't completed it because of this session. I had to see to that istima. At least 4 or 5 hours will go in that, and I couldn't complete that tilawat of mine. Now I need to complete this. Now if I'm going to remain in this crowd, I won't be able to recite it. Or if I'm going to recite it, I'm going to recite 1-2 verses and meet that person. Read another 2 verses and meet the person. I won't be able to recite the Quran Sharif in the way I supposed to be reciting. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا, that you totally dedicate. Sometimes people consider these ma'amulat as insignificant and small. I'm driving and completing my ma'amulat. No, but that's not going to give you the desired effect. You doing some of your balance sheet, right? Year end balance sheet you're doing, and you're driving and doing it. Will it work out right? You're looking at the television and you're working out your balance sheet. It's not going to work out. You will have to focus on that balance sheet completely, entirely. Leave everything aside. Focus on this, on that. Then you will get the thing right. The same, exactly the same happens on your ma'amulat. Take out the time. Take out the time. This, what you do whilst you are driving, that's an additional thing. I don't say you mustn't make zikr or recite the Quran Sharif whilst you are driving, whilst you are working, whilst you are walking. Do it. But this recitation or this zikr that you're going to do as a ma'amul, that you need to take out the time, focus, dedicate yourself, your whole concentration must be on that. On nothing else at that time. Nothing must disturb you whatsoever. Phone, whatever it may be, it must be cut off. You're not taking anything at that time. Because you are in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, and a special communication. One is a casual communication. At this time you are in proper communication with Allah ta'ala. We don't require any type of interruption. You don't require anything to come and disturb this communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to be directly relating to Him. It's a special communication. Imagine you have got the intimacy with your wife, right? Whole month you were out, you were working and all that, now you got the intimacy. And now whilst you got that intimacy, she needs your attention, you need her attention, and the phones are ringing. Are you going to accept those phones then? You don't want to accept the phone. No, I need that type of time, quality time with my family. And it must be just me and her. For the family, that's not going to fulfill all your needs. Or as some type of feeling she's going to satisfy you. But that's it. Not beyond that. There you feel the need that there mustn't be no interruption. Here, Allah Ta'ala is the fulfill of all your needs. Can you show me a need for which Allah Ta'ala doesn't fulfill? Allah Ta'ala fulfills every need of yours. Every uneasiness, every need, every hajat, every zarurat, it is Allah Ta'ala that fulfills. Then you give Him this type of scrap time, this time that is not of a quality time. Then you need to do it with absolute quality, complete, completed. So this ma'amulat, one is this ma'amulat, doing it with punctuality, not leaving it out in between. And it becomes even more dangerous when you have started off a ma'amulat and then you leave it out, then it becomes even more dangerous. Al-Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that one is the zikr and tasbihat that we do, one is the kitabs that we read. That is also a ma'amul, whether it's the kitabs that an alim will read for his own mutala and for his own reference, or whether it is the tabligh kitabs that we recite, fazail amal, fazail sadaqat, etc., that we have to recite every day. If you want to leave it one day, 40 din ki quwwat mutala ke upar asar padta hai. For 40 days, then you are affected. One day you left it out, but for 40 days thereafter you are affected. You can't grasp the concept so well. You ask the Hafiz, if he's reciting 3-4 siparas every day, and one day he has to leave out the recitation of the Quran Sharif, and the following day when he recites the Quran Sharif, now he finds it a little bit difficult to get the word, to get the flow, he finds it a little bit difficult. He needs to be with it. If I'm doing that 4 siwara, that 5 siwara every day, I need to be with it. When you are with it, then you'll find the flow. It's just coming, it's just flowing on your tongue. But then you say, no, I got this zarua today, I got that work today, and then you post it for the second day, and then the third day. Then it doesn't come back to you. It will remind you 1-2 times by this ma'amul. That's a gift of Allah Ta'ala that He will remind you occasionally. But it won't be with you all the time. That concern won't, you will leave it out the first day, then you become weaker the second day, and that by the third day you're off. It's like an exercise that you have to do. If you want to keep that fitness, then you have to maintain the exercise all the time. So the same happens with this ma'amul. If you need to do it, then you need to maintain it all the time. A ma'amul is like a relationship that you have with a person, right? You have a relationship with a person. Example, you are meeting him every day. You are telephoning him once a week, for example, right? You are telephoning the person once or twice a week, every week. So that's a ma'amul. Now, say for example, after a month or 2 months, then you leave out phoning him for that week or 2 weeks, you leave it out. Now the relationship gets affected. That person feels that this man used to telephone me every day. Now what's the problem? Why is he not phoning me? What has happened? Has he heard something? Is there a change of mind? And has someone conveyed a message against me to this person here? Why is there an interruption in the relationship? You get affected. So the same happens with the ma'amulat. When you start it off, then you need to see that you are carrying it out right through. Right till the end, then you must carry it out. Then don't leave it in between. Then it's going to become even more worse. The effect of it will be even worse. If you start it off, then be continuous. Okay? Take so much that you can manage and you can cope. But if you start it off, then be constant in it. Rasulullah warned one sahabi, La takun misla fulan, kana yaqumu bil layl, fataraka qiyam al layl. That don't be like this person here, that he used to stand up at night, in tahajjud, then he left it out. So now the effect of it is more disastrous than not doing it at all. One is a person not getting up for tahajjud at all. One is he started it off and then he leaves it. Then the effect of it will be even worse. It's like a diet, right? One is a person not going for a diet. Alright. He's carrying on. And one is the person that goes on a diet, strict diet, comes in shape. And thereafter he abandons the diet again. According to most dietitians, that is even worse. You're just going fat and coming into shape again. Again, you're becoming obese. And again, you're coming into shape. Now, that's even worse for the body. Because the body now has to keep up with different systems. Suddenly, now you become thin. So, the body has to keep up with that system. The heart has to pump and work accordingly. Then, the body becomes obese. Now, the whole heart has to change. Everything, all the system has to be changed again. Again, you become thin. Again, it has to readjust. Again, you become obese. Again, it has to readjust. So, this becomes more difficult. Similarly, this ma'amulat, you will take on how much you can manage. And what you can manage thereafter, you must continue. The third thing about ma'amulat is, man la wirda lahu, la warida lahu. When you've got a ma'amul, you've got a ritual to cover for the day, then you need to ensure that you're completing it. When you're completing your ritual, then you get divine assistance. In anything that you're doing, you get assistance. Whether it's your worldly, mundane work, whether it is dini work, whatever type of work, you will find some type of guidance. Allah Ta'ala is guiding, alright, do this, don't do this. You need a business, Allah Ta'ala will guide you. You can't hear Him, you can't see Him, but He's instilling those ideas in your mind that do this, you need to do this, you need to make this bargain here. You're working on a problem, so Allah Ta'ala will guide you that you do this. Now others are also looking at the same problem, but they can't find guidance. They can't find a solution to this problem. Or if they do find a solution to the problem, then after a month, 2 months, they will find a solution to the same problem. And here spontaneous, as you come to the problem, Allah Ta'ala says, alright, just do this, and you find a solution. So what is this? This is divine assistance. And the divine assistance comes when you are relating with Allah Ta'ala, your creator also all the time. It's a devotional practice, it's a ritual that you have assigned for yourself. So you're continuously doing it. So now you are relating. He is the person that guides. He is the one that illuminates. He is the one that inspires your heart. Who is the one that inspires your heart? He is the one. It's not your intelligence. It is Allah Ta'ala that inspires your heart. And for that moment, now do this. This moment you do this. He inspires the heart. You be punctual and you will see He will inspire you. You be punctual in the teaching that you have received. You be punctual upon that. You will see that Allah is inspiring. At this moment, at this juncture now, you are at a crossroads. You don't know what to do. And He will find a solution for you. Now, what is this? This is all divine assistance. So Allah Ta'ala inspires that heart. My one uncle explained once how Allah Ta'ala inspires the heart. We all are still working, putting our minds, and we're trying to find a solution to a problem, and suddenly someone comes up with an idea. It's a total solution to the whole predicament, to the whole problem. It's a solution. Says in the 1800s somewhere, and a big truck had to pass a bridge. And the bridge those days used to be metal made, with a top, with a ceiling. Now that truck has gone through, and the top of it somewhere down the center of the bridge is touching on top of the top of the bridge railings. Or the railings that are on top, it's stuck there. Now they can't move it. because the top of the truck is stuck onto the railings that are on the top, the metal railings. Now the ambulance is there, the fire people are there, police are there, everybody is there. They can't find a solution how to get out of this predicament. One small child, 8-9 years of age, he comes with the policemen that are there trying to work it out. He said, "Sir, what is the problem?" "Sir, you're too small to understand the problem, but can you explain to me what is the problem?" So when he insisted, they explained the problem. So he said, "Sir, it's very easy, just deflate the tires, you'll get the car out of the place." Now what all those people couldn't do, this small child was inspired, Allah inspired his heart. So in a predicament, any problem, Allah will find a solution for you. But then you must relate to him. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. When you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will find out a way for you, an exit for you. It seems to be complicated, it seems to be problematic, it seems like you can never find a solution. But then when you relate to Allah ta'ala, you are fair with Him, your relation with Him is absolute, is clear, is strong, it's clear, Allah ta'ala will find a way for you. What's there for Allah ta'ala? He can make the things, the whole world work for a single person. For one single person, Allah Ta'ala can make all the systems of the world work for that person. Can't He do it? We were once in the Jeddah airport, approximately over 20 years ago, Marhum Ovi Chacha, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with Noor. So, he was also in that Hajj. And we see him at the Hajj terminal, and he's going helter-skelter, he's worried. So we asked Chacha, "But what's the problem?" He says, "No, I was booked on this flight here. I was booked on this flight, and I had a confirmed ticket, this is my ticket. And I went to the counter, but they just said it's overbooked, and they didn't get me onto the flight. Then why did they book me? I'm booked, I reconfirmed, I did everything what I was required to do. And then they say there's no place." So anyway, we're still trying to work it out, and what's the problem? Not even 20 minutes passed, we heard that the flight that was going somewhere, I think, crashed, and all the passengers passed away. So when Allah Ta'ala wants to help someone, He finds a solution. Some solution comes up. Now outwardly it seemed very bitter. Man, old man, and they didn't put him onto the flight. And what was the wrong in him that they didn't put him onto the flight? Allah Pak put something into their hearts, don't put him into the flight. Right? He put something into their hearts, don't put him onto the flight. Here the man is running helter-skelter. And there, that whole thing has crashed everybody. The last passenger passed away, Allah Ta'ala saved him from that. So, ye karne wali zaat kiski hai? Allah Ta'ala ki zaat hai. When he wants things to work, he'll make all the systems to work for that particular person. However he wants to do it, he'll do it. All the systems do belong to him. All the systems belong to Allah Ta'ala, and for him to make the systems work for one single person, it's not a difficult thing, it's not a big deal. So our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be straight, clear. Under all circumstances, whatever the situation may be, in whoever's presence or whoever's absence, but our relationship primarily is with Allah Ta'ala. When it is with Allah Ta'ala, then we need to relate with Him correctly. When we say Astaghfirullah wa Atubu ilayh, what we are saying actually? Do we ever ponder what we are saying? Astaghfirullah is an expression of remorse, right? Allah Ta'ala, I am remorseful of what I am doing, so I ask for a forgiveness for what I am doing. But wa Atubu ilayh, what we are asking Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala, I turn back to You. In other words, I diverted, I had come off the course. When you're saying wa'atubu ilayh, what you're saying, I had, with my own stupidity, my own weakness, my own wrong, I had come off the cause. I've diverted from the cause. I wish to come back to the cause. I'm coming back to the cause. I'd come off the line. I'm coming back to the line. So you need to do that with Allah Ta'ala all the time. You need to come back to the cause all the time. You can't say, no, today it's alright, tomorrow I will start off. You do not know, today may be the last day. Or today you've got that thought that you come back to the cause. That thought and that inspiration is a gift of Allah Ta'ala. You don't take advantage over it and it will go away. Don't you see sometimes it is namaz time and a thought goes past your mind. Leave everything and perform your namaz. Then you say, no, right, never mind, today I'll leave it out, tomorrow I'll start off. That thought may not come again. That thought is actually a gift of Allah Ta'ala, it's an inspiration of Allah Ta'ala, take it, take advantage of it. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of you, but He is giving you this divine gift. He is instilling your mind, He is inspiring you by jaakar ke namaz padlo, wuzu karlo, namaz padlo. It's tahajjud time, you got your eyes open. So, by get up now and perform your namaz. Now move from one side to the other side and want to move and you want to sleep again. The sleep is not coming. The thought is coming again. By just make wuzu, read two rakah namaz, you can sleep. You can sleep, it is still Sunday. And you can sleep the whole morning afterwards. So, no, but hey, I won't get this sweet sleep again. To get up, go toilet, make wuzu, and make namaz, it's a lengthy procedure now. I'll think of some other day. I'm not so old now. I can't start everything today now. Everything, the whole thing, your room wasn't built in one day. So shaitan will give you arguments to your favor. So when that thought comes from Allah Ta'ala, consider it as a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Accept it. Take advantage over the thought. Get up. Get up. Make the wuzu. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him once, Ya Rasulullah, Ya O Bilal, I hear your footsteps ahead of me in Jannat. It doesn't mean that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, na'uzu billah, was greater than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his footsteps were heard in Jannat ahead of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, that doesn't mean that. What it actually means is like how you have an escort, you know, you have a personality, an entourage, right? Moving. So you have an escort going in front. So Rasulullah ﷺ expressed his excitement and his happiness that I see you in Jannat, I hear your footsteps ahead of me. So what is in you that gives you this type of position that I hear your footsteps in Jannat? When we think of amal, we only think of the great things. And the small things, we push it aside. We ignore them. The small amal, we look at them with insignificance. We treat them casually, insignificant, nothing. We don't think much about it. But really, it is the small things that make up the big. The small, small actions, they make up the big actions. So Rasulullah is inquiring from Bilal, what is it in you? Because of some amal or some deed that you are doing, I see that your footsteps in Jannat are ahead of me. So Bilal radiallahu anhu says that I don't know of anything in myself, but the fact that whenever my wuzu breaks, be it at night or be it during the day, whenever my wuzu breaks, I refreshen my wuzu, I perform two rakat namaz and then continue. If I need to sleep again, I go and sleep again. But if my wuzu is broken, then I will go and refreshen my wuzu and then go and sleep. Yes, this is it. So these opportunities that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these gifts that come from Allah ta'ala, then we don't consider it lightly. We don't take it lightly. We take it as a gift. We take it as a favor of Allah ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala is inspiring us. He is guiding us. So when He's guiding us, we need to take it. So Allah ta'ala will progress you when you are punctual upon this ma'mulat of yours. Now you're asking Allah ta'ala, you're begging Allah ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, accept me for the khidmat of deen, for the service of deen. Accept me for ta'lim, for education, etc. Now the simple answer Allah Ta'ala will give you, but you've got a little bit of ma'mulat, you are completing that. A little small exercise I'm giving you, you are completing that. When you are completing that, then why you want to take these big things on? You can't complete these small, simple things that I'm giving you. If you complete these simple things, then I will grant you progress, but you don't want to complete these things and you're looking for the higher things. Then how will you manage the bigger things when you can't complete these all small, simple tasks that I am placing upon you? You are completing it. You complete the small task and then you will see slowly, slowly you are progressing. As Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, he writes in Muzi al-Quran under the verse, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. That the kalima tayyib, Any good word, it goes to Allah Ta'ala. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. And good deeds, they really exalt the person. Good deeds, they exalt the person. So Shah Sahib Rahmatullah says, this is a foregone conclusion. مُجَرَّبْ نُسْخَى. It's a foregone conclusion. It's something that has been tried and tested and proven successful, that anybody has got these two things. One is that he is doing good works. He is doing good works. In other words, leaving out evil and he is doing righteous works. And number two, he is punctual in his teachings. Whatever he is fired from his mashayikh, he is punctual on that. Small or big, but he is punctual. He is doing it regularly. There is no interruption. Then definitely he will get exalted one day. Definitely he will get exalted. He will gain that acceptance. We are all here to gain acceptance. So Shah Sahib is showing the prescription for acceptance. One is good deeds, and one is the rituals, the teachings that we earn and we acquire from our elders. And we need to see to it that we are doing it daily. We are doing it all the time. He says it's a foregone conclusion. It's an experience, tried out formula that you, particularly you punctual on these two, you will genuinely, definitely, you will gain the type of acceptance. Okay. You know, the example to illustrate this, I explained to students many a times, is we say that sugar sweetens, right? Sugar sweetens. Now you've got a 2,000 liter of a tank that's got a capacity of 2,000 liters. You put 1 teaspoon of sugar, will that sweeten? It will not sweeten. You get the required amount of sugar, it will definitely sweeten that water. But you placing just, you are just adding 1 teaspoon of sugar, and you expect that thing to be sweetened, then obviously it's wrong. Similarly, you want things to work out for you. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, be righteous, and this ta'limat that you have got, this ma'mula that you have got, this ritual that you have got, then you will be at it. You will be glued to it. You will see the end result, one day you will see it. Don't be in a hurry, don't be hasty, but you will see it. It's a treatment that you need to be carrying out all the time. The medication that the doctor will give you, say, now you complete this course. Now you take it, just you take this one, and you don't complete the course, and you go and complain to the doctor, I don't see the type of cure and relief. But have you completed the course? No, I haven't completed the course. So similarly, you want acceptance. So acceptance is your problem. You want acceptance. You want Allah Ta'ala to accept you, to love you, to like you, and to take you forward. So Allah Ta'ala says you, that this is a formula. You follow this formula and you will get through. But now you do it one day and then you leave it out. Now how do you expect things to work out? You say that Islam will spread. Make mehnat, make mujahada and struggle and Islam will spread. Right? You made one day and then you left it out. Koi kaam hone wala hai. No, you have to do it all the time. You eaten today. Can you say now you don't need to eat for the rest of the day? You don't need to eat for the rest of the week. No, you'll have to eat now. You'll have to eat in the evening. You'll have to eat tomorrow. See? Then you will find the type of stamina. But we want to do it once and then say leave it out. And then we expect that type of spiritual stamina. It's not going to happen. If you need to have the spiritual stamina, do it regularly. And do it all the time. And you will see, at the end you will see things are working out for you. Changes are coming in. See? Changes are coming, improvements are coming in, where, for example, the person was impatient, now he begins to get patience. Before there was show and riya and ostentation in his work, now slowly the aspect, the features of ikhlas and sincerity are coming in him. Before he was more truthful in his speech and in his ways and his behavior, now with all that teaching that is going on, and he's doing it punctually, now truth is coming into him. Now honesty is coming into him. Before there wasn't the consciousness and awareness of the sunnah, but he's doing and he's carrying out the ma'mulat of his elders regularly. See, religiously he's doing it. Now gradually these aspects of truth and honesty, all these things are coming in. But these, what they are asking you to do, these rituals that they are asking you to do it regularly. Whether it's reading of a kitab, whether it is a zikr, whether it is a tasbih, whatever it is, but do it regularly. One person came to a khanqa. So he sees the sheikh in seclusion. And he says to the sheikh that I'm feeling very disgusted, very, very horrible. But I'm feeling so horrible I can't even mention this experience of mine. So he says, no, no, you say you are welcome to say what you need to say. So now I see your face like the face of a swine. Who is saying? He's telling his sheikh, first meeting, and I see your face like the face of a swine. So he said, don't worry, you just carry on, do this wazifa, this ritual that I'm giving you, just carry on. A week or 2 weeks passed, and then he comes to the sheikh. Sheikh asks him, now how do you see yourself? He said, now I see your face like a doll. Oh, alright, carry on. Carry on with the zikr and the tasbihat. After a week or 2 weeks, now I see it like a cat. Alright, carry on. And then I see it like a, after a week again, like a mouse or a rat or something. And then as he carries on, now he sees the shape of a man coming in. And then after about the 10th week, now he sees a radiant face. Face as radiant as the moon, as radiant as the sun. So he's asking the Shaykh, now Shaykh, what's all this story about? First I see your face like this, and now I see your face like that. The Shaykh explains to him that really you are seeing your own face. You are seeing your own reflection in me. Al-mu'minu mir'atul li'akhi. You are the reflection of your brother. So you are seeing your face in me. So when you came in, this was your spiritual condition. Your spiritual condition was like a swine. In other words, you are glutton, greedy, lust. You know, when you talk of a swine, then you talk of lust. You are obsessed with lust, with greed, etc. So this was the first picture. This was the first spiritual state of yours. Then I gave you some ma'mulat, some teachings, some rituals to complete. Then you began to progress. And from a swine, you came to a dog. That too is not too good still. A dog is more or less, it's more or less driven by temptation. Temptation, or it's too aggressive, right? It's too aggressive. So that aggression came in you. And then you became like a cat. That's also not good enough. Then gradually, as you progressed, you began to progress spiritually. The greed in you came out. The temptation, the obsession with temptation that came out. With lust, that obsession that you've got with lust and wealth, all that began to come out, began to decrease. Now you come a man. Now you're seeing your true selves. Now the truth has began to feature in you. And that radiance that you see on your face is the radiance of truth, is the radiance of honesty, is the radiance of sincerity, is the radiance of goodness. But that came after all this initial effort. You remain committed, inshallah. Nothing is impossible, nothing is difficult, but remain committed, punctual. That's what Murumah says, Yabam or Nayabam, Justujua Mikunam. He says, whether I acquire the love of Allah Ta'ala that I am desirous of, or I don't acquire it, I don't feel it within me, I will continue the pursuit, I will carry on. I will carry on. And he says thereafter, you keep your heart focused in that direction, right? Whatever it is, but you keep your heart focused. It may be that in your entire endeavor, and you remain committed, and it may be just the last moment of your life, Allah Ta'ala will bless it to you. But you remain committed. You just do, you play your part. Allah Ta'ala will do the rest. But you don't demand Allah Ta'ala that why am I not getting it now? He knows why and when He will give it to you. He will give it to you maybe immediately, maybe with a delay. So why it's happening with a delay, why it's happening immediately, that is known best by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But your exercise, your assignment is you remain committed, remain focused, keep your focus towards Allah ta'ala at all time, any given moment. Allah ta'ala tawfiq.